Hello, this is Word of Eternal Life by Pastor Chaco Varghese of Life Eternal Ministries from Parkland, Florida.
Good morning, everyone. Last time we talked about the narrow and wide gate from Matthew Gospel chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and to only a few finds it. Just to recap what I discussed last time, Jesus was talking in his mountain speech, which is the famous mountain speech we call it. He was talking about by the closing, almost he is closing to his message, that he was talking about this wonderful thing, which is about the narrow and the wide gate. You see, this is a very important part of the teaching of the Word of God as well, which we repeat all the time, and many times the pastors and preachers, the narrow and the wide gate is a very important part of our life. See, once we accept Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we want to follow God, which means we want to seek eternity, truth, and righteousness by believing in Christ. Therefore, we will have to leave many of our baggages. We will leave them one by one, one by one. And not everything can be done in one time. You see, salvation is a process when you accept the Lord in your heart and receive Him as your Savior and repent on your sins, right? Some pastors, there are new age, new type of theologians who come out and say, you don't need to repent. Repentance is part of accepting that you are wrong and God is right. And when you repent, that means you are giving up your past experiences. At least you are deciding to do it. And eventually it started leaving you as you walk with the Lord. Now, you became righteous by accepting Jesus Christ, then you have a process called progressive salvation or continuous process of your walking with the Lord. In the period of time, you are progressive walking with the Lord, learning the scriptures, studying the word, and worshiping Him, also joining group of believers who are of similar-minded, similar believers or Bible-believing people, and participating in worship and praising God, which is called the church. So now what happens if you die in between your glorification, which is the final stage of the salvation, that you will be glorified by receiving Christ in heaven, in your spirit will reach heaven as you are a saved, a righteous believer and accepted by God as a righteous in the blood of Jesus Christ. God justified you, so you will go to heaven. Now, when will you glorified? At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit come back to the body resurrected, and you will be glorified. And those who are alive, they will be glorified by transforming their body in a fraction of a second. We have spoken this many times. Now, why do we have to think about all those? Because if you wanted to walk with Christ, many of your baggages have to be left. Maybe many of your thoughts, processes, thinking, behavioral issues, that we all have, humanity have a behavioral issue. We are disobedient. We are challenging others. We are disappointing others. We are not perfect people, even though we are grown like a little baby who did not know anything. And finally, we started growing up. And we come to the age, certain times, some kind of teenager, what we call 12, 13, something like that. The young boys and girls started defending themselves, trying to stick away a little bit away from the parents, trying to find their own friends. And these are normal to us, right? Now, what happens is we need to learn how to obey God. When we obey God, your nature will change little by little. This is called progression. We are progressing towards holiness, which is God's presence, more and more. So this is what we call by entering through a narrow gate. See, the narrow gate has not too much space. It only basically can take you through it. If you pass through it, you will survive, because the end of the narrow gate, which is our life in this earth, we have to leave many things. We have to disappoint some friends who are saying, no, come us to have this particular certain movies, which or certain entertainment or certain times of your church time to go with other programs. And you may have to avoid, you may have to stay away from those things. See why I am doing this. That's going to be a testimony to you, to others, that you say, listen, see, I am believing Christ. I am a child of God now. I will have to give priority to God. God is my first, number one priority. Next is my family. Next is my believer, friends and believers in the church and the community. So you will have to remove many of our life natures and behaviors and attitudes and behavior. If you become a new become in Christ, you are a new creation. Paul says in Corinthians, you become a new creation. So your many of the baggages you carried along in your lifetime will be removed as you pass through the narrow gate. So those who wanted to go through the narrow gate, you have to remove many things. Sometimes you have to avoid some of the friends unless they follow you. And your life is going to be a little bit stringent, and you are making a straight line, like disappointing, sometimes making others disappointed, like, oh, why did you do that? How you changed like that? So you may not go to the clubs, you may not go to do, if you are a smoker, you may say, I want to keep my body clean and holy. I'm not going to drink anymore. If you are a young person who started drinking and everything, and those things, many of those things has to be trimmed off your body, your life, personally, your life experiences. That is what is called you moving through the narrow gate. So it's a difficult process, but as God is helping you to trim down those things as you walk with Him, eventually you will get closer and closer to God. Now, what is the meaning of walking in the wide gate? The wide gate is wide open. There is no limitations. You don't have to obey anybody. You don't have to listen to anyone sometimes. Maybe the police will get you eventually. But the problem is that you have to keep everything you have. You go through the wide gate. You have so many friends, worldly type of believer, people of the world who you never wanted to leave them, because you have entertainment, enjoyment. You go to certain places with them. And your lifestyle, you are not trimming away anything. You are just continue moving forward. The wide gate has a lot of good things in the world. They offer you joy, happiness, temporarily. Everything is temporary. This is what the wide gate is. So many will pass through it, Jesus said. This is true in today also. Many will pass through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. See, when you keep your life steady with Christ, when you become very much closer to the Lord, you remove many of your ungodly natures and behaviors and attitudes, and you are getting straight going through the narrow gate with Christ. And the end of that is life, eternal. Your life is eternal because you have to have a lot of restrictions. You know, Christian life is not a life of freedom. Everything is free. You can freely enjoy anything. No, you can't anymore. You will have to trim out many of the things which we have been using and practicing before. So that's what the eternal life is all about. You will reach eternity, but you have to go through little stringent natures by obedience. Obedience is the best way, the way Christ is all about, Christianity is all about. Now, the next thing the Lord spoke about, a tree and its fruits. If in verse 15, chapter 7, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in the sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. You know, sometimes there are a lot of people, they're saying, I am a pastor. They are also preaching in the pulpit, but deep inside of their heart, I am not sure. Sometimes you won't be able to understand until you measure a lecture or a preaching by the scripture, not only the lecture, but you also see the way the person live. The person's lifestyle, person's attitude, person's behavior. Are you following Christ, or are you preaching the same gospel with Jesus have spoken? So there are differences between the person's message and the difference between the gospel which he is speaking, then there is a problem. So there is somebody who is today, we are very jolly type. They make a lot of jokes. They entertain people in the church, and they are making good messages as well. Time to time, they have good entertaining words that people love it, right? Nowadays, many times you can see that is happening, but there is no objection to that. But the fact is, we also need to see that this is the truth. See, many false prophets rise these days. I am even hearing from some of my friends that this is how this person was preaching about some certain topics which has no connection with the Bible. Now, what is that going to do these days? Jesus said that in the end of the times, there will be many false prophets. They will be preaching. They will be talking about Jesus. They will be using the Bible as an example, but out of the line, sometimes they are more mixed with the world and mixed with the Bible. Now, where is the sheep appear the way the sheep appear, but the sheep doesn't appear with like the wolf, but inwardly, you know, this is the matter of how much money they can collect. One way, sometimes this is one of them, even Paul said about it, sometimes a certain type of ministry will collect so much money. And why all this money is in the bank? What is it going over there? It is building more money. It is all invested. Now, how much money are you investing? How much money are you using for the kingdom of God? That is where God is going to make a decision about that. See, this world is all about, hey, how money, this is important. Yes, does God need money to do his work? Well, Jesus didn't have any money. I don't see Jesus had any money when he was traveling with his disciples and they were preaching. One time he needed to pay the tax for the Roman government because he was a citizen in the Roman kingdom, right? Even Judea was under Roman rule. Jesus had to pay the tax, and Jesus told Peter, you go go to get fishing. Just throw this your thing into the water, you know, and you catch this fish. There will be a fish. They were obeyed. I have no idea how the Lord has done those things. That is the way Lord, he is prove himself that he is the Son of God. That dirham or which was in his mouth, that fish's mouth, that was enough to pay the tax for Peter and Jesus. So anyway, what he's saying is it's a matter of finance. Everybody is collecting so much money, and we don't know how much money is invested for the kingdom of God. And they, at the end of the year, they're going to show, this is our budget, this is how much we received, and this is how much we gave to the serving people here, there, right? Which is a great thing, but why do you have a 50 million in the bank continuously staying there? Well, this is, Jesus prayed, hey, give us our daily bread. Jesus said, give us our daily bread. This has nothing to do with that you don't save for tomorrow. Yes, you do need to keep money for the rainy time, rest, but there is some kind of personal decision or the board of trustees or whatever. But everybody does, whatever everyone does, it is God will judge them accordingly. Now, you have to be careful, watch out for what is going on. This is for the purpose of financial gain, or this is the purpose of preaching the word of God or spreading the gospel, right? Amen. So by their fruit, you will recognize them. See, that is what it is. The fruit comes out of the labor. whatever they show, the end of the day, after many months, or you may not see right away, but later you can see the fruits, if what kind of fruits are producing. So the question is, Jesus is saying, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit. This is what a Christian have in their life. They produce good fruits. They produce good for others. They give them good things. What is the good things? The good things is the Word of God, which is pure and holy and truth. And today the world has a division. I had to put in my Facebook, I am not a very active Facebook person, but when events happens, I write something relating to the Word of God. See, these days, what is happening nowadays in the world is there's two divisions. See, this is ever since Adam and Eve have sinned against God and against themselves, they have created a enmity against God. The enmity against God had existed, as it says in the book of Ephesians by Apostle Paul, there was a division between a sinner and a God. The division was the wall of sin, that unjust, the justification you have to receive by forgiveness of sin. By forgiveness of sin, God the Father will stamp a justification. You are right, you are justified by faith, by believing in my Son Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament time, as we have spoken many times, that they have to lay their hands on an animal which is a blameless, with no defect animal, young lamb or young bull or whatever, those similar kind of animal, and they bring in, and the priest pray for you, and you lays your hands on the animal. Then your sins are passed on the animal, and the animal killed, and because of that blood sacrifice, forecasting the coming Jesus, forecasting the coming Messiah, the forecasting the Son of God is going to come, the Lamb of God who will come and he die for your sins in the future. That was the Old Testament. From time of Adam and Eve, people conducted this sacrifice and look forward for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which they didn't know the name of him, but they knew the Messiah, which was a Savior. Well, the word Jesus itself is Savior. So this is the conflicting factor some of the times, that the only thing they hate, the name of Jesus. People who hate, oh, Jesus, no, we don't want to hear about Jesus. See, I have heard it so many times that I don't like to hear. But the same people who are waiting for the Jesus, which is the Savior, the language is the only problem now, which is Christos, you know, Jesus, or Jesus, you know, he was the Messiah or Mashiach of Hebrew. So the problem is accepting the Messiah. The problem is to accepting the Messiah. So in time of Jesus Christ was in the earth, there's really very few people believed in Christ. Very few people. There was a limited number of people from Israel who believed in Jesus. Because first he came seeking them. See, Jesus first saved the Jews, then the Gentiles, according to the epistle in Romans chapter 2. It says, first Jew and then the Gentile. That's what God was seeking, because Jesus was a Jew as well, and he was first to seek the Israelites, and then through the Israelites, save the Gentiles. Now, we know Jesus also spoke to some Gentiles as he went to the Tyre and Sidon area. Now, he also healed many. In the place Jesus started ministering, and majority of the time was in the land of the Galilee. In Galilee, surrounding Galilee, in the Sea of Galilee, and all those regions, many of the time, most of the time, Jesus ministered there, and other times he went down to Judea, down south. Amen. So Jesus is saying, by your fruits, you know what kind of person you are. You can be an evangelist, you can be a preacher, You can be a priest or whatever you call yourself, and that can be known by the fruits of your labor, at what comes out of you. Likewise, many good tree bears good fruit, and the bad tree bears bad fruit. So what I was expressing before was there are two divisions ever since Adam and Eve have sinned. The world has one side after the Noah's flood and all the things happened. Then there was Abraham, and then through Abraham he wanted to save the world through his son, his great son Jesus Christ. Through one of your seed, the world will be blessed. So in the time of God's time, the fullness of time came, the time which is God appointed, that time which is how many years from Abraham, right, is that what God was waiting for, that particular time. It's not a human time, it's actually God's time. God has a time from creation to salvation, you know. Is all these times are in the hands of God. So now that particular time came, Christ was born. Now the problem was they couldn't accept him as Christ. Christ or Christos means Savior or Messiah or Messiah. So Messiah, who was the Christ, that's what they had problem with. They did not understand him because they were not studying the Torah, studying the scripture, studying the prophets, and the ones who studied the prophets, they misled them. So that happened to be the problem. So the ones who received the message, the humble ones, they received grace from God and they received the salvation by faith. So faith and faith alone and by Christ alone. That's what the Bible is speaking about. Amen. Now today, there are two sections of people in the world. It is getting more aggressively visible right now. We can see them more aggressively visible because the division is getting clearly and clearly visible right now. The fruits of two sections of the people of the world are visible right now because we see that why they speak about certain things, when they talk about certain events, they describe the political situations, all these things come up in a way, are you a godly man or a woman or not a godly woman or a man? See, what that means is one section stand by God, the other section stand by devil. Because Satan is the prince of this world. Because why is Satan the prince of the world? Because Jesus mentioned three times, saying, Jesus said, Satan is the prince of the world. One time he was speaking to people, he said, Satan is the prince of the world. Other time he said that Satan, the prince of the world, has nothing to do with me. Then the third time he said about the prince of the world, now the prince of the world is going to be judged. God is going to judge devil or Lucifer, Satan and his angels, and those who are standing with him. The people who stand with the devil is against the truth. It's the truth. See, in our country, United States, when you go to the court, see, I never had to do this, they will have to testify. Those who testify, they put their hands on the Bible and say, I say the truth and nothing but the truth. You know, every time a governor or president, you know, they take the nation, they take the vow. They take this oath before God Almighty that we are living in the presence of the Lord Almighty. That a lot of people think that nobody is seeing us, nobody can do anything to us because we have this freedom to say anything we want. No, you don't have the freedom to say anything you want because you will be judged by what you said and what you've done. Your words, by your words, you will be judged, Bible says. By your mouth, by your words, you will be judged. Because the testimony before God Almighty standing already when you have said certain things. If you said untruthful things, if you witnessed falsely And you already said it is set up a testimony against you before the Almighty God. Because the Almighty God is truth. It's holy, truthful God is righteousness and justice. He will, vengeance he's belong to him, and he will repay for everyone who does against his will. See, the only way you can get away from the Almighty God's punishment at the end of the ages is that you will accept, you will submit, surrender, say, yes, God, I am wrong, you are right. Forgive my sins. There's only one person who died to take away the sins of the humanity. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. Allah did not die for humanity. No matter what you think he is a holy God or whatever you claim, do you have a presence of him in your heart? Or you just simply following traditionally? But Christianity is not a traditional following of God. It is just the faith in God, and you feel his presence in you. So your fruit, you're a tree which bear good fruit, will come only when you accept Jesus Christ. See, I am not saying other people who are worldly people don't do any good things. Yes, they do. They do community service. They do donations. They give money to certain non-tax profit organizations. And they do all those things, but doesn't mean they have eternal salvation. Their soul is still in the list of the death penalty. See, there's a death penalty, which means you are going to be penalized. You are going to eternal damnation, punishment, that you want to get out of that. The only way you can get out of that is by accepting the truth. The truth is, the way, the truth, and life is Jesus Christ only. It's in the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 7. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am life. In Gospel John chapter 1, verse 12 says, in him was life. You know, verse 3, in him was life. And he was the light of the world also. So Christ is, in him is life. He gave life to the world. He gave life to the creations. God worked through Christ, his word. Now, let me say this was something I got a little more detail in my mind last week, which was the Old Testament Trinity was Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word was in the middle. Father, God, Yahweh, his word, and the Spirit. And they didn't give much attention to the word Spirit. They considered that it was the Spirit of the Father, yes, yes or no, but at the same time, when it come to the New Testament, all three persons were individually identified, Father as the head of the house, and Son God is the word of the Father which he was speaking. He was translator to his Son, and he was in him from the beginning. He was exactly like him. It was his copy. He was speaking through him. He was doing the creations through him. He was God himself revealed in the New Testament. May the Lord richly bless you. If you have any questions, don't forget to email me. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast this morning. If you have any more questions or if you'd like to contact me, my email address is P like Peter, R like Robert, dot CHACKOV like Victor at gmail.com. That is PR dot CHACKOV at gmail.com.
This is Mary Lee from Vera Web Consulting. We help businesses design smarter processes using AI where it helps while keeping people at the center. It starts with a strategic assessment. We study how your organization works, then build AI and digital tools that support your team, not replace it. Whether it's automation, decision support, or systems that talk to each other, we make it work for you. Visit VeraWebConsulting.com or call 772-268-2072 to schedule your assessment.